RT to 93 FM on digital radio, and you can also listen to us live online. It's 11:30. And time now for World on Three with Mary-Anne Kennedy.
One of Sierra Leone's stars of the 90s, making good once again in Brooklyn, New York. Janka Nabi was used to filling football stadiums back home, a guy with substance to his music and an anti-war message. Cruelly ironic then that rebels would use his songs to try and draw people out as they tried to hide from the conflict. Like millions, he had to leave, and he found it difficult to hook up with other Sierra Leoneans to make music in his new US home. Hence that Killing Me with Bongo track there. He thought a lot of other musicians were just taking the easier commercial routes to earn a crust. So it was public radio that finally put him on the map. And the long and the short of it is this new album on David Byrne's Loaca Bop label. It's called Enye Sa and it's out on the 10th of September. You're listening to World on Three with me, Mary-Anne Kennedy. And it seems like ages since I was here, what with the great WOMAD splurge that we revelled in last month. I hope you'll agree, though, that it yielded up some gems as ever. We have loads of new material to take a wander through tonight, or maybe a ramble, as my very special guest is Tom Paley of the legendary New Lost City Ramblers, still playing with an energy and enthusiasm of a man half his age and more. But before we get to that, let's look ahead to the second of this summer's world music lineups at the BBC Proms on the 6th of September. And we move from a label where streetwise music from all parts of the globe is at the heart to a band whose music was made on the streets of Kinshasa. Staff Benda Bilili, the band whose HQ was the half-abandoned City Zoo and whose staff of disabled musicians and homeless kids made a worldwide impact with their positive message and uplifting music. They'll be coming to the Royal Albert Hall for the first part of a Congolese double bill on the week they release their brand new album, Bougez le Monde, Shake Up the World. Pourquoi tu t'en vas? Pourquoi tu es parti? Pourquoi tu m'enfuis? Reviens, reviens, reviens mon amour.
Naissance à la mort, il nous colle comme un symbole, en nous dictant sa volonté. Ne t'en fais pas, mon pote. Tout ceci, c'est la volonté d'un Zambé. Ton nom, Ce nom mystique, nom du vrai bantou du centre, me rappelle cette magie noire que jadis faisait peur aux profanes. T'inquiète, man, c'est de là que tu tires ton souffle et ton inspiration en dépend. Baloji est ton nom. Baloji Mbajibala Mamakalena Kabukolo. Toi, Sakidjina.
L'exil comme fable, ils ont pris mon histoire pour une fable. Pour distraire bataille et fontaine, me réduire à un cas d'espèce, un spécimen naïf, comme l'arrêt natif du pays des grands lacs, semé de récifs. Mon récit abrasif travaille le motif en guise de travaux d'intérêt collectif. C'est pas la thérapie en musique par défaut pour les thèses des descendants de Dolto. Slalom entre les bombes lacrymales, le ressentiment et la haine viscérale. J'ai appris de mes erreurs pendant l'intervalle pour retrouver le toucher initial. Ma détermination est intrinsèque car la maison n'accepte pas l'échec. Entre tradition et moderne, ça reste frais tant qu'on discerne le pattern. Ma poésie est en mouvement, le beat est une assise, non pas un divan. Je laisse le sabre descendant de Boris Vian. Moi je me réclame du K1, des déviants. Et j'appuie au sale manche, j'ai un payé mon dû, donc garde l'échange. Différent malgré les vices de forme apparent, touché du bois, la poisse a le cœur sec. Mais la maison n'accepte pas l'échec. Familier, singulier, de mon hôtel particulier. Côté cour donne sur une vie imprenable, côté jardin sur des secrets inavouables. Ça sent l'huile de palme et la poudre, les démons du passé veulent en découdre. J'ai l'empathie et la patience, j'apprends à pardonner à prendre distance. Et c'est leur mépris que j'exècre, soit je fais le jeu, soit je fais le break. Mais la maison n'accepte pas l'échec.
The sorcerer Baloji returns to his Congolese homeland in this new album, Kinshasa Succursale, following on from his 2007 debut, blending his sparky lyrics and a Belgian upbringing in exile with a whole range of African influences. Bittersweet, too, that the recordings came about as a result of reconnecting with his estranged mother back home when a letter arrived out of the blue. And yet, when they did finally meet up, it was no tear-jerking reunion. So Baloji will be the other half of the BBC Proms World Music Night on the 6th of September alongside staff Benda Bilili, and I'll be at the Royal Albert Hall to bring it to you live on BBC Radio 3. Coming up in a little while is my session guest tonight, the seminal American folk musician and singer Tom Paley. So I thought I'd head off in the direction of a couple of singers who would surely appreciate what he's about. I'm going to start out with one of the most beautiful albums to be released this year. Songs with multi-layers of music and meaning that set Karine Polwart out as an artist who shines away beyond any genre or pigeonhole. When I was a kid, holidays up in Skye were spent running over the ruined cottages around the Crofts when Morinage's house or the old byre became, in our unbridled imaginations, a battle star or an army tank or anything we liked, really. And Karine taps into this parallel memory in a song against Donald Trump's Aberdeenshire golf course, built amongst great ecological, social and political controversy on the Balmady Dunes, a site of special scientific interest. Never one to take the direct route in passing searing comment, hers is a remembrance of the beauty of the sands through the infinite possibility of childhood.
I was Farrah Fawcett, you were Steve McQueen, and we rode your silver grifter half the way from Aberdeen. And the way said Michael blew the clouds away, and a scarlet shard of sunset scored. where's the granite grey? And the way
A voice from the past re-emerging, it seems. Sheila MacDonald was back at the beginning of the 70s, an up-and-coming singer and writer whose two albums were backed up by many of the stars of the English folk rock world, much associated with Fairport Convention, and she was touted as the potential next Sandy Denny. And then she disappeared completely, only surfacing a few years ago when a newspaper article led her to make contact and talk about the meltdown she went through and the extraordinary latter years living in a tent in the inhospitable bits of the Scottish Highlands. She's now living quietly in central Scotland, and you can read a major interview with Sheila in the November edition of Efroots magazine, and that's out in mid-October. Don't miss it. And before that was the glorious Corinne Polwart and her gentle but potent condemnation of the Trump International Golf Course, opening the brand new album Traces. Well, we have a perfect distillation of past and present next, all in one. Tom Paley, one of the members of the New Lost City Ramblers, folk revival influences on many, many musicians, Ry Cooder, Jerry Garcia, Bob Dylan. He's been living in the UK for a long time, still playing low-key, until friends decided that it was about time the spotlight should be turned back on him. And he's back with a brand new album to boot. Not bad for 84, and here he is with his band to prove it, and they're going to start out with Sally in the Garden. Sally in the Garden from Tom Paley and his band here, who are today's son Ben Paley on fiddle, Johnny Bridgewood on bass, Robin Guthrie on fiddle, guitar, mouth organ, backing vocals, we'll be hearing all of it, and Dave Morgan, who produced this new album, Roll On, Roll On, playing it looks like a far too modern suitcase for this music, actually. It should be battered and cardboard, but
it works.
Tom, how does it feel? I mean, you've never stopped playing music in all the years that you've been living over here in the UK, but how does it feel being back in the studio and back playing live on stage and here at the BBC and people making a fuss?
I've done a certain amount of recording over the years also, so it's not completely coming back from being away from it all, but each time it's something special. And this time, because the company that put together the record have been pretty active in contacting BBC and various other outfits, so there's been a lot more publicity for it. So it's, in a sense, it's a return from being known in a small circle to being known in a slightly larger circle.
But it's still the same music. Going back to the folk revival, those special years when you were in amongst fantastic things happening amazing people getting involved in things. What was it about old-time music in particular that was important to get to the heart of?
Well, first place, I never cared for the pop music when I was a kid. You know, it'd be an occasional number I would sort of like, or something that even if I didn't really like it, there was a hummable tune or something like that. But I just wasn't much interested in that sort of music. I did quite like some classical music, or chamber music particularly. But when I heard folk songs, that is, or you might call old-time songs, although nowadays you old-time more for a certain style, that the term is used that way. But traditional folk music always seemed to be something real about it. And particularly when there were songs that were singing about the hard times that people went through, ordinary people, I'm not talking about bankers. That was real to me, whereas the stuff in the pop music just didn't seem real. And my family's political orientation was always quite left. So I would hear some people singing political songs, songs from the International Brigade in Spain, other things like that, and began listening to records of people like Woody Guthrie and the Almanac Singers and Pete Seeger and Tom Glaser, and also some of the more country singers. And I also, a few months later, got a hold of a banjo, five-string banjo, and began playing that. But there were people like the Carter family, like the Monroe brothers, the Morris brothers, several other sets of brothers, and various other people. I liked the music and began trying to play in the style that they played. Charlie Poole and the North Carolina Ramblers was another one.
So you started off listening to records. Yeah. Did you actually go in search of the people for the real music, you know, up close and personal?
Not so much. I met some of them. Some of them came, were in New York, or some came to New York. People like Woody Guthrie, Lead Belly, Pete Seeger.
The music and the musicians that you're talking about, that particular world, the music went with a particular political persuasion. Oh, but for the folk music, for the traditional music, what role did that play? Was it an expression of something? Was it an agitation? Was it rejecting other things? What was it?
Well, they were political, but they were also very interested in the tradition. And so at a concert, some of the songs they would sing would be political songs, songs from the coal miners' struggles, and or other things like that. And some people would be singing just traditional ballads, you know, American versions, oh, things like Barbara Allen. They were part of the same package somehow. Then, of course, in terms of people's songs, there was a situation some years later that I ran into. There was a guy who used to work as a volunteer at the People's Songs office, kind of Harvey Matusso. And then suddenly, he was a great American hero. It was in the newspapers and everything. He was revealing all about these dangerous banjo players and Reds, Bolshies. He named name after name after name. And at that stage, I didn't know my name had been given particularly. Years later, when I was in the Ramblers, New York City Ramblers, we'd gone back to a television program we'd been on once before, and someone from the network came around with some forms for me to sign. There was a choice. Either a sign that what Harvey Matusso said about me was a lie, or what he said about me was a truth, but in those days I was young and innocent and misled by bad companions. And I said, what did he say about me? So he said, Tom Paley was a member of the Communist Party, and as such, he was part of the Soviet espionage apparatus in America. Well, I had never actually been a member of the Communist Party. And I knew people who were and were no part of any espionage apparatus, because this was in 62. And we got dropped from the TV program because I wouldn't. So I said, it's none of, I forget whether it was NBC or CBS, but it's none of a TV network's business what my politics are or were. And I refused to sign and we got dropped from the program and then didn't get any other work. That was one of the reasons why Mike and John wanted to get me out of the group, because it was costing us work. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a while, but I'd like some more music just now.
I think that's a good idea. And I think the next number is going to be The Midnight Special, which is a song I guess I originally heard from Lead Belly, but I think there were other recordings of it that had been around before his recording was known. A song about being in prison, as particularly a black man's version of being thrown in jail or on a chain gang, things like that. A midnight special, shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Better walk right, and you better not gamble, and you better not fight. Sheriff Benson gonna rescue, he'll surely take you down. Judge Nelson will sentence you, and your jailhouse bound. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Same damn thing, knife and fork are on the table, but there's nothing in your pan. Say anything about it, and you're in trouble with the man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me.
Lovely stuff, and there's more from Tom Paley still to come on World on 3 with me, Marianne Kennedy. And I'm going to carry on, since I know of Tom's love for the fiddle, with a fiddle track. The Nordic Fiddler's Block, Crossing the North Sea by Fiddle and uniting the traditions of Norway, Sweden and the Shetland Islands through Anders Hall, the brains behind the project, Olaf Luxegaard Mjelva and Kevin Henderson, a previous guest on the show, and Fiddler with Boys of the Loch, Fiddler's Bid and Session A9. And it's one of the other sessioneers who wrote this next one, Charlie McKerran's Paella Grande.
Thank you. Chega aí. mai si c'è che rengise che da mai che rabi che bagni che da mai ti gengi in del guie che da mai e si avete lugni che da mai piede mal che fagni che da mai e ci che nanninci che da mai e il tuo nagegno che da mai e a che sto amici oh 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 che da mai le oh 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 che da ma che da mai le mentre qua te che ne ci cantale te le oh 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 che da mai le oh 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 che da mai le mentre qua te che ne ci cantale te le.
Two tracks from one of the latest Rough Guides there to Ethiopia, and one of the great voices, Mahmoud Ahmed with Ohoho. And before that, Dan Harper's Invisible System. The Rough Guide form is to have an introducing style bonus album alongside the compilation, and Invisible System's Ethiofusion is the featured act here. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on Three. Heading south now to Italy, right down to the heel and the area of Salento where an ancient Greek dialect, Griko, can still be heard in some communities. It's listed by UNESCO as one of the most endangered languages in the world. But this group of young musicians, the Orchestra Sparaniña, have been brought together by Italian folk music expert Ambrose Sparagna to revive, at the very least, the song repertoire of Griko. A springtime song here, when all is green. Italian banda through the prism of Eastern Europe from Municipale Balcanica, the opening two tracks, Tuareg and Two Kings, from their new album Offbeat. And they hail from the same Puglia region of Italy as the orchestra Sparanina, whose collection of traditional Grico songs from Salento is released this week on the Finisterre label, distributed by Felmy. Well, it's time to welcome back my guest tonight on World on Three, old-time folk revival legend Tom Paley, back in the spotlight with his new album, Roll On, Roll On. And Tom, would you tell us about this next song? Because it's got a kind of parallel life, really.
Yeah. It's called Green Grow the Lilacs. Now, it's an American song, but it's a version of something that at one point had to do with Northern Ireland, because the chorus originally had a line that some changed the green laurel to the orange and blue, and it had to do with switching from Catholicism to Protestantism. But it got to America, and people learned the song, but to most Americans, orange and blue didn't have any special significance. And it somehow became the Oregon blue, as if that was a particular flower. Of course, change. And also, instead of laurel, we sing about lilac. Green grows a lilac, all sparkling with dew. But also, there's a story, it may or may not be true, that somehow the word that Mexicans use for Yankee, gringo, actually came from the fact that in the Texas-Mexican War, they heard the Northern soldiers singing this gringo lilac so often. I heard gringo, gringo, and it became, they took it as gringo, and that the story is that that's the origin of the term gringo, and I don't know if it's really true or not, but it's an interesting rumor or an interesting legend in any case.
A one, two.
Sparkling with dew, I'm lonely, my darling, since parting from you. But by our next meeting, I hope to prove true and change the green lilac for the Oregon blue. Once I had a sweetheart, but now I've got none. Since she went and left me, I care not for one. Since she went and left me, contented I'll be. She loves another one better than me. Green grow the lilacs, all sparkling with dew. I'm lonely, my darling, since parting from you. But by our next meeting, I hope you'll prove true and change the lilac for the Oregon blue. I passed my love's window both early and late. Looks that she gives me, they make my heart break. The looks that she gives me are painful to see. For she loves another one better than me. Green grow the lilac so sparkling with dew. I'm lonely, my darling, since parting from you. But by our next meeting, I'll hope to prove true and change. She sent me an answer all twisted and twined, saying, keep your love letters and I will keep mine. Just you write to your love and I'll write to mine. Green grow the lilacs all sparkling with dew. I'm lonely, my darling, since parting from you. But by our next meeting, I hope to prove true and change. Oregon blue.
Tom Paley in session for us here on World on Three with Green Grow the Lilacs, one of many versions, having made it across the water to the United States. Now, I have a question for you, Tom. You were talking about 2 weeks before your 17th birthday. Is this the guitar you bought back then?
Oh, this is an old Martin. Yeah, this is a good one. I picked up sometime a few years later than that. I don't remember exactly what year, but probably about 48, at a guess. It's a 1929 itself, so it's 1 year younger than me.
And it's been with you ever since.
But we've been together for a long time.
Now, you were speaking earlier on about the fairly toxic situation back home. Mm-hmm. Was that what led you to leave the States for Europe?
Well, I mean, it was a factor. But first place, we wanted my wife, then wife, and I wanted to do some traveling before we had kids, because we were clever enough to figure out that two grown-ups, or at least larger people, we never grew up, actually, but that two, well, so-called grown-ups, could travel more easily without a screaming child. Now, as it turned out, Ben wasn't much of a screamer, but that was some years later. And then there was the general atmosphere in the States. It was... We left at the very end of 62. It was a time when, you know, America was still trying to take over Vietnam, and we were doing a fair bit of demonstrating against it. And I remember an incident that my father mentioned. There was a middle-aged couple there, or elderly even, I don't know, handing out leaflets protesting against the Vietnam interference. And there were a bunch of people around them, pushing them around and, you know, taking their leaflets and tearing them up and doing things like that. And so my father sort of says, hey, this is America. You're supposed to be free to express your opinion. So the crowd sort of turned on him. And, I mean, he got pushed a little bit. He didn't get beaten up or anything. But that sort of thing really a bit upsetting. Anyway, so we thought, this is a good... Let's go somewhere else. We went to Sweden first. But once we got over there, we really liked Stockholm and what else we saw of Sweden. We began to think, you know, why go back? It's really nice over here. And the national health system that they had seemed to function very well. And there was a regard for ordinary working people. At that point, Sweden was quite a liberal country. And thought it was a nice place to be. And there was still all this stuff going on back in the States. And we thought, gee, well, let's stay here, at least for the time being. We ended up living there 3 years. But Claudia was doing a lot of writing, and she said, well, she really wanted to have the sound of English spoken as a native language in her ear.
And you've been here ever since.
Since we moved here at the end of 65.
So there's this whole ball rolling thing going with the album out. Now you're promoting it. Yeah. You're going out on tour. And I know that there are plans for the next album before the end of the year, where I believe you're going to meet up in the studio with a lady who you last recorded with some time ago.
Yeah, Peggy Seeger. Yeah, she's agreed to do two or three numbers for the album.
When was the last time you were in the studio together?
The last time we played together would have been a long, long, long ago. But, you know, I had seen her on a few occasions in recent years, but mainly not very often, because she was living in the States for quite a while. And she's now moved back. She's living in Oxford.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear 1965 to 2012 when that comes out. Look forward to it. Tom, thank you so much for coming in, and thanks to the rest of the guys as well, to Ben Paley.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, no. To Johnny Bridgewood, Robin Gillen and Dave Morgan. It's been a real pleasure and great to talk to you as well. Tell us about this last song then, The Morning of 1845.
It was an old recording that I got it from, but I can't remember who did it. It's sort of centered in the northern bit of the U.S., maybe even a little over into Canada. It's that sort of area.
One, two, three.
Mm-hmm. woke up one morning in 1845. Thought myself quite lucky to find myself alive. Harnessed up my whole team, my business to pursue. And I went to haul and coal as I used for to do. The alehouse being open and the whiskey running free. As soon as I drank one glass, another stood by me. I only hauled one load instead of hauling four. And I got so drunk at Shippin's Port, I couldn't haul no more. I grabbed my saddle upon my back, I staggered to the barn. Saddled up my old gray mare, thinking it no harm. Jumped upon her back and rode away so still. Scarcely pause for breath till I come to Laurel Hill. Father fast pursued me, he rode both night and day. He must have had a pilot, or else he'd have lost his way. He peeped in every hole and corner where'er he saw light, till his old gray head was wet with the dews of the night. I have an honest comrade, his name I will not tell, invited me to go downtown with him to cut a swell. And after much persuasion with him I did agree, and went down to the tailor shop some fiddlers for to see. Up stepped four young ladies all ready for to dance. Up stepped four young gentlemen all in advance. The fiddlers being willing and their arms being strong, we danced the ground of Laurel Hill at least 4 hours long.
And the party goes on. Thanks again to Tom Paley and his Old Time Moonshine. The album is called Roll On, Roll On. It's out now on Hornbeam Records. And you can see him playing live next at the Half Moon in Putney, London, on Wednesday coming. And on the 15th at Exeter's Phoenix Acoustica Festival. Next week's session here on World on 3 comes from London Ghanaian Afro-funk band Konkoma. Their debut album came out this summer. So this is what we have in store. We'll be right back.
Saint-Thomas. Si pas chaleuse, pas chaleuse, pas chaleuse pour moi. Si pas chaleuse, pas chaleuse, pas chaleuse pour moi. Ce serait beau jour pour ma sister. Si pas chaleuse, pas chaleuse, pas chaleuse pour moi.
Concoma, London-based, with Ghanaian musicians Alfred Bannerman and Emmanuel Rentsos at its heart. And they join us here in session on World on 3 next week. We're headed back to Italy briefly to the jazz pianist Michele Giuliani and Reunion Platz. Their new album pays tribute to African jazz of all kinds, from Ethiopia's Mulatu Astatke to this charming solo piano track in honour of Mama Africa, Miriam Makeba. This is Saduva. Thank you. very quirky from Michele Giuliani. And that's where I leave you tonight. Thanks to Tom Paley again and the band for the session tonight. Martin Appleby and Simone Lombardi in the studio. Martin Webb and producer Roger Short. Last up is a track from an album recorded at the Morganland Festival in Osnabrück over 5 years, featuring some of the great Eastern voices performing today. I'm Marianne Kennedy, and I leave you with the Iranian singer Salar Akili, one of the leading singers of his generation, accompanied on frame drum by his wife Haria Shariatzadeh. Good night.
نگاه کن که غم درون دیده ام چگونه قطره قطره آب می شود، چگونه سایه سیاه سرکشم اسیر دست آفتاب می شود. آخ نگاه کن تمام هستیم خراب می شود، شراره مرا به کام می کشد، مرا به اوج میبرد، مرا به دام میکشد. کنون که آمدیم تا به اوجام، مرا بشوی با شراب موجام، مرا دیگر رها مکن، مرا از این ستاره ها جدا مرا از این ستاره ها جدا نکن. اما جانم خدا دلم اما در وصف نیاید، در وصف نیاید، در وصف نیاید، در وصف نیاید. چه شیرین دهنستان این است که دور از لب و دندان من است. در وصف نیاید، چه شیرین دهنستان این است که دور از لب و دندان من است. آرز نتوان گفت که قرص قمر استیم، بالا نتوان خوان که سرو سمن است. آرز نتوان گفت که قرص قمر استیم، بالا نتوان خوان که سرو چمن است. مردی که ز شمشیر جفا روی بتابد، در کوی وفا مرد مخانش که زن است. مردی که ز شمشیر جفا روی بتابد، در کوی وفا مرد مخانش که زن است.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3's Through the Night. I'm Nicola Christie and I'm delighted to have you with me. The first of two string specials that we prepared for you now, with music by composers ranging from Béla Bartók to George Frederick Handel to Vaughan Williams. Let's start in the Bohemian Austrian Empire of the 17th century. Bieber's battle music, or Battaglia, is a masterpiece, depicting scenes of battle drums, drunken soldiers, blasting cannons, the wounded and the dying. It's remarkably modern and inventive in so many ways. Here's the Metamorphosis Ensemble's interpretation, recorded in Belgrade in 2011.